chapter 6 is our jumping off point this morning for a new series on busyness and rest. Luke 6, and if you're using a Bible under the seat, that's page 861. Is this sometimes you? I just left work. The boss wants his report yesterday. I got to get the kids to soccer, then piano lessons, and then drama club. Oh, and by the way, my daughter's got a doctor's appointment. My small group is tonight. I got to feed the gang. And once again, the checkbook won't balance. I'm completely slammed. And anyway, who's mowing the lawn? It's past my ankles already. And now here I am, and the pastor's going to make me feel guilty about not spending more time with God. What time? I'm negative 7 hours for the day already. Lily Tomlin, the trouble with a rat race is that even if you win, you're still a rat. Being busy is like a drug. Being busy can be addictive. Busyness can even become an idol in our hearts. We spend our lives doing the urgent, and too often we miss the important. President Eisenhower, what is important is seldom urgent, and what is urgent is seldom important. Rest is crucial. Did you know that being too busy and not finding rest is a significant spiritual problem? Rest is a gospel issue for your heart. Because God designed you to have margin in your life. And that's why we're spending a few weeks this summer looking at what the Bible has to say about busyness and rest. We're told that God rested at the beginning of the Bible. At the end of the Bible, we are promised that we will get ultimate rest. And dozens of times in between in the pages of the Old Testament and New Testament, we are commanded to rest. Fourth commandment, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. The Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. So why is rest so important? Why is rest so important? Because slaves don't rest. Sabbath rest is a mark of freedom. Yet many of us have forgotten or we completely ignore the command to rest. Rest, spiritually speaking, rest is non-optional. We were designed by God. We were front-loaded by God. We were created by God to rest. Now, I realize we all have different relationships to work and the chores that are in our life. Some of us are on the job 40 to 60 hours a week. Some of us full-time mothering. Many of us are volunteering or assisting the elderly or the disabled, and that seems like it's a 24/7 job. One of the biggest problems in 2019 is people getting Sabbath rest. In Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, Jesus illustrates this principle of rest, Sabbath rest, the fourth commandment. So here's how we're going to approach this morning. Why we need rest, why we don't get rest, and how we find rest. Pretty simple outline. First, why we need rest. Why we need rest. Luke chapter 6, verse 1. On a Sabbath, while he was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked and ate some heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" So Jesus and his disciples are going through a field on Sabbath day. They're hungry, so they pick some heads of grain. They rub them in their hands to get the kernels so they can get a snack, something to tide them by. And they were accused by the Pharisees of breaking the Sabbath. And that's because reaping grain is one of the 39 forms of work that was forbidden on the Sabbath day according to the halakha of the time, the Pharisees' religious regulations. They gave rules what you could and couldn't do on the Sabbath, and this is one of the things you couldn't do. And as soon as you and I hear that this was breaking the Sabbath to get the kernels out of them and eat, right away we say, how legalistic is that? How moralistic, all those rules, how awful, and we turn up our noses at that. But notice, Jesus' response here is not, the Son of Man has come away to do away with the Sabbath. Not what he says. He doesn't just throw the Sabbath out and get us away from all this. Not what he says. Verse 3. And Jesus answered them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which was not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those with him. And he said to them, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. He says, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. And we'll get to that in a minute, but at the very least, that means Jesus is saying, I am all about the Sabbath. The Sabbath is what I am all about. So here's some things that we learn from Jesus' comments here. Sabbath, rest is a gift of God. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. It means we should not turn up our nose at any effort to help us find rest. If anything, most of us are unbalanced or outright rebellious in this area of our spiritual lives. Now, the Sabbath regulation in Israel was enacted after the Exodus from Egypt, when they left Egypt. And this Sabbath regulation was unique in all the cultures of the world at the time, because the Sabbath regulation limited work and profit-taking, and economic production in general. Put a governor on it. Put a limit on it. And so every seventh day, no work could be done in the field. Every seventh year, the fields were not to be cultivated at all. And this undoubtedly meant that in the short run, Israel was not competitive. And Israel was less economically productive than its neighbors. But, it was a land of free people. They were free. And, of course, deeply rested people are going to be more productive, not less. It's a gift from God, and it's commanded by God. You are no longer slaves. And because of the Sabbath, I don't have to work 24/7. God is saying, by giving the Sabbath, I made you to rest. No one else did this. No other culture on earth did this. So the Sabbath is an act of trust. God appointed the Sabbath to remind us that he is working and resting. It's a discipline that he places into our lives. One Jewish author writes, most people mistakenly believe all you have to do to stop working is to not work. But the Sabbath was a much more complicated undertaking. You cannot downshift casually and easily. This is why the Puritans, the Jewish Sabbaths, were so exactingly intentional. The rules did not exist to torture the faithful. Interrupting the ceaseless round of striving requires a surprisingly strenuous act of the will, one that has to be bolstered by habit as well as by social sanction. So what she's saying is simply this. Our relationship to work as a society is seriously out of whack. That it's so seriously out of whack that it is hopelessly naive that for anyone to think that they are going to get rest by simply knocking off when you feel tired. I'm going to work and work and work and work and work until I can't do it anymore. The ability to deeply rest is a life or death thing. No one can do without it, but it is not natural. It's not simple, and it is absolutely difficult, and it takes an enormous amount of discipline and practice. In other words, it's hard to just stop. Just stop. So to practice Sabbath in a disciplined and faithful way, to remember that you are not the one who keeps the world running. It means that everything doesn't depend on me. That I am not the only one who provides for my family. I'm not the only one who keeps my work projects going forward. So, small business owners, full-time moms find it especially especially difficult to believe this, that everything doesn't rely on me, that I have to keep going and I have to keep working, and or the world is going to come crashing down. It's hard to believe because these kind of people have high levels of competence and very few team members supporting them. And if they don't put in the hours and if they don't work all the time, then things don't get done. It's very easy to fall to the prey to the temptation to believe that I am the only one holding up my corner of the world, my corner of God's creation. Is commanded by God, and it's even modeled by God. This is absolutely incredible. This is what Jesus alludes to here, that the sovereign, omnipotent, almighty, untiring God rested from his work. Genesis 2:2. God rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. Now, how do you fit that in with this apparent contradiction? He does not grow tired or weary. The almighty God never gets tired, and yet he rested. So why does he rest? He stops all of his creative work in order to enjoy what he has made. It is good. It is good. It is good. It is very good. He's satisfied. He takes time to enjoy in satisfaction what he has done. He's not resting from all his work. He stops his creating work. God's still working. God has to work all the time or everything. I mean, we couldn't breathe. We wouldn't exist. He holds the universe together. He stopped creating. So the God of the Bible does not need to rest, but he does. You need to rest, but you don't too often. God made us to thrive when we take Sabbath rest. So what we're saying by resting, consciously, intentionally resting, is that work is not your life. Work is not an end in itself. My whole life doesn't revolve around my job. God is there. You are not alone in your work. Jesus' famous teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, you've heard this before. In the Sermon on the Mount, he teaches against worry in Matthew chapter 6. And that teaching on worry is set in the context of work. He chides us that the plants of the field are cared for, though they do not labor or spin. He reminds us that we are more valuable to God than the plant, so we shouldn't run after material things through our work. So if you're worrying during your rest, you're not practicing Sabbath. The purpose of Sabbath rest is to enjoy God and the world that he has given us. And the Sabbath gives us theological and practical help managing one of our most precious resources. The Sabbath is put into our lives by God to help us manage our time. To this resource which we can't get more of, we have a limited amount of our time, and God helps us to manage it. According to the Bible, the Sabbath is more than just taking time off. It's intentionally doing what God did, enjoying God's creation, enjoying God, enjoying the fruit of your labor. The whole point of the Sabbath is joy in what God has done. That's what Jesus shows us here in Luke 6. These Pharisees had made the Sabbath an unbearable burden. Not something you longed for. It was something you dreaded. It was a burden to bury. And in Mark's record of this very same encounter, Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." The Sabbath is here in order to bless us and grow us. Tim Keller, who is a huge help to me in thinking this through. The purpose of Sabbath is not simply to rejuvenate yourself in order to do more production, nor is it the pursuit of pleasure. The purpose of Sabbath is to enjoy your God, life in general, what you have accomplished in the world through his help, and the freedom you have in the gospel, the freedom from slavery to any material object or human expectation. I'm free. I'm free. Therefore, I can stop. I can stop the rat race. I can stop the little gerbil circle spinning and get off and enjoy God and all he has done. So this is the way God has made us. Physical rest, which our bodies require, direct us to spiritual rest, which is essential for our souls. We learn something by taking physical rest, and that is that God wants us to get spiritual rest in him. It is time to just be content. content. That's what God was doing on the seventh day when he stopped his creative work. He was content. I'm satisfied. This is good. This is good. So underneath the physical, the need for physical rest is the need for deep spiritual rest. Psalm 62, truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Why do we have to rest? Because rest points our hope to the world to come. The point of enjoying a Sabbath rest is to appreciate all that's around us, to taste the joy and satisfaction and delight of what is coming. Eternal rest. When I rest here, it's just a sample, like you get at Costco, you know, those little samples. It's a sample of the rest that is to come in God. Delighting, contentment, joy. It's not just ceasing work. Because in heaven, we're going to have work. We're going to have work, but the work will be all joy. Now, I want to clarify something. Biblical rest is not sloth, laziness. It's stopping the whirlwind and appreciating who God is and what he's done. Well, then, that's why we need rest. Why is finding rest so very, very hard? Why is it so very hard? Well, we don't get rest. Well, because we're overbooked. We're overworked. It's survival in the 21st century. It's our standard of living creep. We all have to admit it. We all want to have more than we did when we were kids. We all want to have more than our parents and grandparents. We all want to have more than we did 10 years before. So we get multiple jobs and two incomes to survive. And then you have to include in this rat race all of those who succumb to the expectation to have your kids involved in everything. Everything. You got to do everything all the time. And even if you're not at your paying job, you're running and doing and busy and involved and doing all this stuff. We're overbooked. Our jobs are insecure. Unlike two generations ago when somebody would go to a job when they get out of high school and stay there until they retired, now if you don't perform, you're canned. People used to work their entire careers at one place. Now you don't have that kind of security. No longer. Technology is a threat to our rest because you take your cell phone everywhere. Your email and your text follow you everywhere. And you're on Twitter when you're on vacation. And so you may be at the lake, but you're not getting a mental Sabbath, are you? Work often becomes our meaning in life. There is an enormous psychological and social pressure for work to be fulfilling, for my work to become my identity. I am what I do. I am what my job is, whether that be mother, whether that be teacher, mechanic, manager, that is who I am. And this is my identity. I must succeed. I must prove myself. And consequently, I never get true rest of my soul because the outcome of my life is always in doubt and my work is never enough and busyness becomes an escape. Another reason we never get rest because we have so much stuff and all that accumulation cost. All those things that we subscribe to cost. All those things that we have to buy and support and try to keep up and pay the bills on cost. So we've got to work more and more and more. We don't trust time. We don't trust God with our time and with our money. We pride ourselves on our busyness. Busyness for many of us becomes a badge of honor. And if you're constantly busy, we think, according to our culture, if you're constantly busy, that means that you're going somewhere. And if you aren't busy, you're never going to make it in the real world. According to the culture around us, success only waits for those who never stop, or at the very least, that's the lie that we believe, that you've got to keep going, you've got to keep going, you've got to keep producing, and that's why we overbook ourselves into various leadership positions and various clubs and volunteering and jobs and special projects and active social life, because we just can't say no. Our constant busyness is not necessarily about productivity or high aspirations. It's about control. The lie that I run my life, God doesn't. I have to produce satisfaction in my life, God doesn't. I think another way to look at it, the problem isn't the presence of work. Work is good. Work is the gift of God. Nothing in the Bible says that you shouldn't work and you work hard. Our problem is the absence of rest. We have become slaves to busyness, slaves to work, slaves to expectations put on our lives, so much so that we believe that we cannot stop without our world collapsing. And if you find your identity, your meaning in your work, you'll never find that deep, absolute rest of the soul that Jesus gives. The goal of biblical work is not just for you to take off some time or take a week off during the summer and go to the lake. The goal of the Sabbath is for you to get underneath and refresh your soul in the way that you can't when you're running the gauntlet of working and providing and running and creating. So how do we find rest? How do we find rest? Let's look at what Jesus says. They say, the Pharisees say, that he's violating the Sabbath. How does he respond? Well, he says, have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? David entered the house of God, taking the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priest to eat, and then he gave some to his companions. What's interesting here is Jesus takes an incident from 1 Samuel 21, where we're told that David, when he was running for his life, went to the tabernacle. It was part of the Sabbath worship. And he took this bread. You are not allowed to eat it. Not allowed to eat it. It was part of the worship. And David ate it. And, of course, as Jesus implies, he was never condemned for it. God never said there was anything wrong with what he did. He was never condemned for it at all. And Jesus is inviting us to think out the implications of that. If the Sabbath and worship regulation can be set aside in a pinch, but on the other hand, there's absolutely no place in the Bible where it says that you can set aside moral law in a pinch. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that you can set aside the moral law of God when you're in a bind. There's no place where God says, well, we're in a hurry, so committing adultery is okay, and worshiping an idol is okay, or stealing or armed robbery, that's okay. You can do it because you're in trouble. No. Never any place in the Bible where God says setting aside his moral law is okay. There's no place ever where the moral law is set aside when you're in a bind. But the Sabbath, the ceremonial, the worship regulations are set aside in a pinch. What does this mean? Think of the reasoning. Now try to think. This is really important here. Jesus wants you to think. It means that these regulations, these Sabbath ceremonial regulations, are provisional. That means that they're temporary, reasoning that in the end, when something comes along that makes them obsolete, to which they point, what would that be? What is it that makes them obsolete? He says in the very next verse, verse 5, he tells us what it is that makes them obsolete. Assuming they're thinking along these lines, I am the Lord of the Sabbath, which is astounding, mind-blowing to that first century Jewish culture. This is incredible that he would say this. I am the Lord of the Sabbath. Now think about what he's saying. He's saying a lot more than I can address right now. I am the one the Sabbath regulations all pointed to. I can give you that deep rest of the soul that you most need. I am the Lord of rest. That's what he's saying. Let's work this out. I am the Lord of rest. I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I am the Lord of rest. What's this mean? Well, several things. Move through these quickly. If you want rest, you have to go to him. Matthew 11, we'll be here in a couple of weeks. Come to me, all you who labor are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I am the source of rest. I am the source of rest. Another implication. If you think you've gone to him, and if you don't have any rest, you still don't know what you have. You still haven't taken hold of what you have. When God rested after the work of creation, he looked at what he had done, and he was completely satisfied in what had been done. This is good. Now you can rest. That's the only way that you can walk away. That's the only way you can walk, only way you can stop. The only way you can put your doing down is you're absolutely satisfied with your doing. That's good. That's good. I'm satisfied. I can stop. Another implication. Jesus fulfilled the Sabbath law, which means he is our Sabbath rest. Hebrews 4 talks about the gospel, what it means to believe in Jesus. And suddenly he says, there remains then a rest for the people of God, for anyone who through the gospel entered God's rest. Rest from his own work, just as God has rest from his. This is an amazing passage in Hebrews 4. We're being told here that through Jesus Christ, you can look at your life, you can look at yourself and say, it's absolutely satisfying. Have you ever looked at yourself and said, this is totally satisfying? Looked at your life. Absolutely good. There's nothing else that needs to be done. It's good. All the work that I need to do is finished. You ever look at yourself like that? This is perfect. It's done. It's complete. I'm satisfied. I'm content. How is that possible? In Luke chapter 6, in the following story, Jesus heals a man on the seventh day, verse 11. Luke 6, verse 11. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do with Jesus. They killed him. They killed him. He substituted himself for you and I by going to the cross. He took our restlessness and became our rest. He took our sin and became our righteousness. And Jesus is saying, and the author of Hebrews is saying, that through Jesus, only through Jesus, can you get this rest. Can your work be finished? Can you find this rest of the soul? So when he says, I am the Lord of rest, he's saying, he is the one who takes chaos from my life and provides rest for my soul. Psalm 116, return, O my soul, to your rest. He's the source of it all. So practically then, how do I do this? We're going to work through this for a few weeks, but let's stop and process for just a few moments. How do I do this? How do I get this rest? Anything that you try to do to practice Sabbath, a conscious ceasing, a conscious time of finding joy, anything you try to do to practice Sabbath, to take time off from work, to stay away from, anything you do before you understand what we've just gone through, all this teaching on the Sabbath, it's never going to work. In other words, taking a vacation doesn't deal with the deep thing. The deep rest, the REM rest of the soul, because it takes discipline. You have to have discipline to find this true spiritual soul rest. What am I talking about? Well, let's think through some of those disciplines. For example, inner disciplines. Inner disciplines. How do we get margin again? How do I get space in my life to have a Sabbath rest, to consciously rest? Well, you have to refuse to be a slave to work. You have to refuse to be a slave to expectations. And I'm not just talking about what your manager at work, the work list, gives you. I'm talking about parenting, expectations you have of parenting, a standard of living. You can. I'm not going to be a slave to saying, I'm not going to be a slave to trying to own everything that my neighbor does and do everything my neighbor does and join all the clubs my neighbor does. Recreation, more and more and more, anything. Because slaves don't have a day off. This is the whole principle behind the Sabbath. Slaves don't have a day off. And in Egypt, they work 7 days a week making bricks. They never got a day off. Slaves don't have a day off. If you don't rest, you're a slave. You're a slave. You're a slave to your boss. You're a slave to your expectations. You're a slave to your possessions. You're a slave to your toys and the things that you like to do. You have to say, inside your heart, deep into your soul, this is an act of liberation. My work does not define me. Christ defines me. I am not defined by how many customers I get, how much money I make, how well I'm doing at this, how expert I become, how far my teenagers excel in their sports and in their music. I am not. I'm not defined by that. That is not my identity. I'm taking time off today. I'm taking time off tonight. I'm taking time off this week. I'm not going to even think about it. I'm not going to feel guilty about it because I'm not a slave. I'm not a slave. Tim Keller. Anyone who cannot obey God's command to observe the Sabbath is a slave, even a self-imposed one. Sabbath is a declaration of our freedom. You are not a slave. Not to your culture's expectations, your family's hope, not even to your own insecurities. You're not a slave. He goes on to say, it is important that you learn to speak this truth to yourself with a note of triumph. Otherwise, you will feel guilty for taking time off, or you will be unable to truly unplug. So Sabbath simply means I'm not going to be a slave. I'm not going to be a slave to my iPhone. I'm not going to be a slave to my email. I'm not going to be a slave to my expectations that I have put upon myself. Refuse to be a slave to work. Number two, trust God who designed you to rest. Sabbath really is a matter of faith. That's what Jesus is saying. That's what the Mosaic Law was saying. That the defining act of faith which set Israel apart from all the nations in the world, again and again and again and again and again in the Old Testament, it says, it was them keeping the Sabbath. You say, why in the world are we talking about the Sabbath in church? Couldn't we talk about something more spiritual? Couldn't we talk about something more practical? And you think, wait a minute, this is one of the Ten Commandments. This is one of the things that the Bible comes back to again and again and again from cover to cover of Scripture. It's the Sabbath principle, the rest principle, and we don't get it. We just ignore it. We just kind of say, oh, we're not under the Sabbath anymore. I can do whatever I want. You need to trust God who designed you to rest. Getting deep rest requires that you trust God with your time, trust God with your work, saying, I am not God. I am not in control. I am not meeting my needs ultimately. There's someone else who meets my needs. Those are the inner disciplines, external disciplines. A Redeemer Church suggests 6 external disciplines. These are just suggestions. You can fill this list in any way you want. 6 external disciplines. Set aside time that is unplanned, unscheduled, spontaneous. If you were to describe your schedule for this week, the things you have to do, sunrise to sun, until you go to bed, where's the margin? Where's the time to enjoy God? In that time, where's the time to just spend time with the Lord? Spend time in His Word? Where's the time to spend time with God's people? Can you disconnect from all the stuff long enough to stop? Take time to do something avocational. I almost had to look that word up. I had to parse it, avocational. And it means do something different than work. Sport, hobby, music, carpentry, engages, there's something that engages your mind differently, something that helps you think differently. I have things that I do. I love reading books. Sometimes the temptation, though, when I'm reading books is to always try to sermonize it. So I'm not really unplugging. But you know me. Most of you know me. I love to bike. And there are a lot of times where I'm just jammed up here at work. And my brain, and I've had a hard day and a hard interaction with someone. And get out on a bike and just force myself to pray and think. And I ride by your house and I pray for you. And I'm not focusing so much on the same stuff I do all the time. And for you, you fill that in however you want. Maybe it's baking. Maybe it's listening to music. Take time to think, contemplate. Turn off the social media. Turn off your iPhone. Turn off the radio. Please turn off the television. Please don't be offended. It amazes me how many people's homes I've gone into and the TV is on from morning till late at night. It never turned off. And I'm not talking about pagans out there. I'm talking about Christian people. The television is on all the time. Take a break. Throw a rock into it. Do something. Get rid of it. Just turn it off. And not just the television. It's more likely your iPhone. Get rid of it. Take time to just enjoy God's world, to enjoy God. Catherine will tell you that for many years of our early married life, all my vacations were running from one spot to another and trying to knock, you know, check, been to 49 states and I've seen them all for 5 minutes and, you know, we're running and running and running and it took me years and years, decades to learn to just go and sit and take time off. Spend time on your relationships. value community, value church. That's a big part of Sabbath teaching in Scripture. And find ways to inject Sabbath into your work. Inject Sabbath into your work. Keller makes an interesting observation. What we need to do at work is to not harvest out to the edges. Not harvest out to the edges. And you, what's that? That's a strange metaphor. Well, in Hebrew time, they would leave the margins of the field. They would leave the corners of the field for poor people to come. And so they would plant the whole field, but then the corners would be there. And so leave margin at your work. Leave some. Don't schedule every single second of every single day. Plan margin. Plan space. Plan time to get up and walk around the building, or read the news, or that'll stress you out, or you know, just find something different to do. Make time to rest and to enjoy. Question: where does your soul find rest? Where do you, spiritually speaking, find time for joy, time for contemplation, for God? How do you personally, how do you escape from the craziness and chaos of life? Running, running, running the rat race. Could you ask yourself, how do you replenish, refresh your heart and get perspective? What Luke 6 shows us, and I know I've gone a long way from Luke 6, but it really is a crucial passage. The only person whose eyes you should have to, in whose eyes you should have to prove yourself, looks at you now, and he says, it is good. It is finished. He looks at you, and he says, you don't have to prove yourself. Let that sink deeply into your life. You do that, and it's going to change your attitude toward work. Or to put it another way, would you please stop making bricks? Make bricks 6 days a week, please. Be a brick maker and make good money at it. Charge $40 an hour to make bricks. That's good. But then on the seventh day, just say, enough. You can stop. You can stop. Because of who he is. Because of who Christ is. Jesus Christ is your rest. You don't have to prove yourself to anyone, Christian. Jesus Christ is your life. So declare your freedom. Declare your freedom. When you rest, consciously, intentionally rest with discipline, with a plan to rejoice and delight in God and to be satisfied in all that God has used you to do. When you consciously, intentionally do that, declare your freedom. Celebrate that and enjoy your God. Let's stand together. You are the Lord of the Sabbath. You are the Lord of rest. And yet, I must confess, Lord, that too often I have ignored that part of you to my own detriment. I think that being busy is what gives me success. Being busy is what defines me. May I, Lord, find rest in you, satisfaction in who you are and what you have accomplished for me, satisfaction in how you have used me. May I delight in you in that way. In Christ's name, amen.